Welcome to another episode of Connecting with the Toms. I'm Julie, your trauma-informed movement coach, coming from the beautiful tundra of Ontario, Canada.
This is Dr. Tom coming from actually a wet and overcast day in Arizona, which we celebrate because we get them so seldom that when it rains here, we are very happy.
Awesome. And if this is your first time here, we are a father-daughter duo here to share our experiences and knowledge that we've acquired over the last 70 plus years, right, Dad, of combined experience of working with people just like you, the listener. So thank you for coming and listening to what our little nuggets, our little corner of the world, and what nuggets we'd like to share. But today we're going to be talking about how to build a stronger immune system. So I'm just going to put a caveat. What you think we're going to talk about with your immune system, we may surprise you, because your immune system is linked to two really important systems that a lot of people don't really give enough weight. So we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But what we're going to start off with is we're going to do a breathing drill called 4-2-1. So this breathing drill is fantastic for people who tend to feel very overwhelmed, burnt out. And what we're going to do, how this works, is you're going to inhale for 4, you're going to hold for 2, and you're going to release for 1. And with that release, what I'd like you to do is, it's like, I just want you to like imagine you're holding a lot of tension in your body and you just want to let it go, like, right? So it's like, it's like a full release. Okay. So that's why it's really good for people stuck in fight or flight, because we're just trying to release the tension quickly. So what we do is I tend to do three times through. If you want to do it for a certain period of time, that's great. But again, the key with this breathing drill is for you to be able to release some excess tension, excess energy that you may be holding in your body. All right. So keep in mind, this may trigger some of you to feel uncomfortable. So I just want you to be aware of that. So if you don't feel good after this, just please know that this could possibly happen. But for some of you, you may really enjoy it depending on how much tension you are holding in your body. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to count it down for you. So I'm just going to count for a 1, 2, 3, 4, hold for 2. And then I just want you to let it go. Okay. Just one big, long, let it out. And if you want to make a sound with it, please do so. Okay. Body loves sound. So if you know anything about neurology, music and sound is a very powerful way to shift your nervous system. So let's get right to it. So you ready, Dad? Mm-hmm. He's ready. All right. So again, so let's begin. Go ahead and inhale for 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold. 1, 2, release. Inhale. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold. 1, 2, let it go. One more. Inhale. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hold. 1, 2, let it go. There you go. So why three? Based on energetic medicine, which has to do with one for yin, one for yang, and one for you. You can do it longer. Again, for some people, it may be too triggering to go longer. For some of you, you're like, I really like that because I was able to really get into that diaphragm and release that. So anyway, we tried different breathing drills to check in on your nervous system and check in on you. So hopefully you enjoyed that one. And if not, that's okay. Tune in next time and we're going to do a different one. So without further ado, I'm going to let my dad kick us off and talk to us a little bit about how he works with clients, or not clients, he works with patients. I work with clients. How he works with patients to help them start building a stronger immune system. But I have a feeling you're going to take a couple steps back. But I don't know. Where do you want to take us, Dad?
Well, I'll take a couple steps back just from the aspect of, you know, framing what people's concept is of the immune system. So generally speaking, you know, what I've heard from clients for the last 50 years is that they say, I never get sick, so I must have a strong immune system. And unfortunately, that is a very poor yardstick to decide whether you have a strong immune system or not. In fact, I've always told people, if you're not getting sick, that's actually not a good thing. We'll talk about that at some point during this. So we'll just lay out the fact of why we have an immune system in the first place. And there's multiple factors in the immune system that I think we need to pay attention to, because it's not that one is more important than the other. And before we get into what's happening inside our body, we have to look on what's happening on the outside of our body, because our first barrier, we'll call them barriers, because why we have an immune system is to separate us from something that's we consider not self. Not self are typically felt to be microbes, viruses, of course, that we've all gone through with COVID in the last few years is very common in the wintertime. It's the flu, it's the influenza, it's RSV, which have all sort of made the high headlines this past winter overall. So the aspect of our immune system is, you know, has developed over time. Obviously, we've been on the planet, we think 310,000 years, per se. And you, if you know, I just, some of you may know, I just came back from South America. And, you know, when the Spaniards showed up in South America, about 1500, you know, 1550, that type of thing, unfortunately, many of the natives there, the Indians, died because they had never been exposed to smallpox. They had never been exposed to different types of viruses and bacteria and illnesses with no immunity, because they had never had the opportunity to form antibodies, which are something happens internally. But before we even get to inside the body, we have to think of outside the body. So our first barrier is our skin. Because if you have lesions on your skin, obviously we know that something foreign to us, whether it's dirt or bacteria or viruses, can enter through the skin. We know that the skin is permeable because we now have many medications and things that can be applied topically on the skin and they get absorbed. So we know that that is a route of entry. So the next route of entry besides the skin is through our nose and our mouth. We are constantly breathing air, constantly, and the air that you know, we're going to assume it's not filtered, you know, just in your house, for example, you may have fans and those types of things, but there's still tens of thousands, if not millions, of particles, particulates, and whether they're viruses, bacteria, mold, fungus, etc., that you're breathing in. We now have something that has to filter it out. So we have a sinus cavity, that we have cilia in there. We make mucus in there. We have saliva in our mouth. We have hydrochloric acid in our stomach to basically take anything that we swallow. And then we have air in our lungs. We have cilia that'll, you know, literally will say they beat and they try and move. Things that are foreign to us out, so we cough and sneeze and have to blow our nose and that kind of thing. Those are all normal physiologic reactions to support our immune system as a guiding light. And so those are not generally things that people tend to think about when their immune systems, but that's why we need saliva. That's why we are talk about nebulizing to make sure that the sinus is clear. That's why we talk about proper digestion. That's why we talk about eating slowly. That's why we talk about cooking your food and not eating 3 hours before bedtime. You know, all the typical things that we have talked about on previous podcasts. So those are the sort of the overview. So when we have an immune system that is functioning in balance, homeostasis, we call it, what's going to happen, you will be exposed, and you are always exposed. You will always be exposed to different types of foreign entities, microbes, viruses, bacteria, etc. So normally it's like, oh, well, big deal. We have all these components on the outside to try and be a barrier. Then we have the things that are on the inside, which is an immune system. An immune system that's made up of so-called B cells and T cells that are responsible for making antibodies. And so, you know, we have these, you know, when the body sees a foreign invader, we have white blood cells, you know, we have things called macrophages, et cetera. So we don't have to get so technical, because that's really not the important part of this. So that's one part of the immune. So when you get exposed, your immune system gets kicked up, the white blood cells, the macrophages, the antibodies, et cetera, get kicked up. They do their job, and basically they keep you in a state of homeostasis. If you're not, if there's other things that are going on, that your immune system on those very basic levels don't have the ability to kick in time, then you may be overwhelmed. So, you know, we hear that, you know, somebody who gets cold sores, for example, you know, herpes virus, which means basically when you were a kid, you were exposed to it. You didn't have an immunity, so you had something called herpangina, which, you know, you it may have been mild or may have been, you may have been quite ill, having a flu type thing for a while. And unfortunately, that particular virus, we sort of never get rid of. You know, you've been exposed to chickenpox probably at some point. Now we know that on the same level, that's now the zoster virus, or that now we talk about, they have talk about shingles. And then people over 60 should be getting a shingles vaccine, because the idea that that virus that has been living inside you has the ability to activate itself. And it said, well, why, you know, at that point in time? Well, because at 60 years of age, your cells are 60 years older. Your immune system has been challenged more and more, et cetera, et cetera. So I said, I don't want to make it so technical that it's like people are going to stop listening. So we'll just, so I will stop there and let Julie intervene.
Okay. So, well, I know you don't want to get technical, but I think our listeners would find this really interesting for you to just briefly talk about the miasms, because some people, I've talked about it when I talk about immune health with my clients, of understanding, if they actually have an understanding of what their miasm is, then we can like talk about, you know, how to support themselves a little bit better. So it's like, I know it might be a little bit technical, but if you want to go over, there are four different miasms. And like my dad said, the miasms are basically, how does your body respond when there's a foreign invader, right? So I'm right. Like, I can't explain, like, I mean, I can explain it from what you told me, but I mean, you're the person, like, it's all in your book. And that's where, like, I read it in my dad's book and I'm like, okay, what's this? It's different from personalities. It's different from, it's like, what is a miasm and how does that impact my health? And it's actually, for me, I think it was a game changer, because it helps me understand how to help my clients boost their immune system and boost their nervous system and understand how they respond to certain things when there are foreign invaders. So do you want to go over them briefly for me? Would that be okay?
Sure. So first of all, miasm, the word miasm is from the word Greek, and it's miasma, which basically means claw, example. So the idea of claw is when you're exposed, and I'm, without saying it over and over, I'm just going to say, when you're exposed, and I'm going to just say viruses, when you're exposed to a virus that you haven't been exposed to, the body, the immune system that we have, the parts that we've already talked about, need to respond in a certain way. The way that you individually respond is predetermined. It was determined by your great, 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 great grandparents, per se. And it's been handed down through generation after generation after generation after generation after generation. And depending on what their exposures were over the time, there's two types of miasms. You can either inherit a miasm, which is from your great, 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 great grandparents, or alternatively, you also acquire miasms when you're in your present body, in your present state. So, well, as Julie said, there's four main miasms that we talk about. And what the miasm, for the simple aspect, we'll talk about is, how does your immune system respond when you are exposed to a virus or a bacteria or fungus or mold or whatever? So we say the mother miasm is called SORA. Spelled with a P-S-O-R-A, SORA, SORIC, a SORIC miasm. It's believed to be the original miasm. And it's from that miasms that other ones have evolved over the last tens of thousands of years that we've been here. So what SORA is, so people who have a SORIC miasm mean that they have great efficiency at eliminating the virus. So what mostly happens when a SORIC person, a person who has a SORIC miasm, is exposed to a foreign invader, they will develop usually a pretty severe normal physiologic reaction. The most common is they get diarrhea, like violent diarrhea. Like it happens like 10 times one day and then it's done. Or they get a full body rash that lasts for 24 hours, or they get a severe asthma attack where they're having trouble breathing, or they have an incredible reaction in their nose and they blow their nose, they use a whole box of Kleenex type thing, and then they're done. It's 24 hours. Those people generally will feel better, and they get a high fever. So in other words, you have an exaggeration of normal physiology. And after it happens, they feel better and, you know, they get better. We say that the psoriatic people can do, from an old British term called debauchery. So they could go and, you know, drink a case of beer, a fifth of whiskey, you know, never take care of themselves, have a one of these reactions and feel better. I always say people like George Burns, you know, used to smoke a cigar and drink a fifth of whiskey every day. He died at 100. It's like, how the hell do you die at 100? He said, well, he chose his great grandparents well because he inherited the psoriatic miasm, meaning that when he would do something that would overwhelm his body's own normal physiology, he would have a reaction and then recover very quickly. So that's the so-called mother miasm. Another miasm, in fact, the other three miasms are not as fortunate because they are unable to rid the body of the foreign invader as efficiently and quickly as the psoriatic miasm a person can. So one of the more common ones, especially among females, is called psychotic miasm. Not with a P, it's actually S-Y-C-O-T-I-C, psychosis, psychotic miasm. The psychotic miasm is when the body is exposed to something foreign to it, again, virus. And so it says, oh, I don't have enough tools. I don't have all the building blocks in place to create the reaction that we just talked about that happens in a psoriatic person. So what the body said, well, then what we're going to do is we'll get rid of some of it. And what we're going to do is we're going to try and isolate that organism, that foreign invader, in somewhere, and we're going to wall it off. And so when you wall it off, the body doesn't eliminate it, but the brain says, well, at least it's not bothering things. So when we wall it off, what we talk about is we start putting it into compartments. And unfortunately, the two most characteristics, and this is one of the easier miasms to decide because all you need to do is ask a couple of the questions. So I always ask female patients, when you were young, when you got sick, what happened? So they'll either tell you they got a lot of ear infections, or they had a lot of sinus infections, or they had a lot of tonsil infections, but they had their tonsils out. So in other words, it's things above their illness as a kid was above the collarbone. And then in a female situation, that affects men too, but we'll talk about females. Invariably, a female will basically then tell you, when you ask about their menstrual cycle, I said, how was it? Oh, I had lots of menstrual cramps, or I got fibroids, or I got ovarian cysts, or I had trouble getting pregnant, or I had numerous miscarriages, or I have pain with intercourse. In other words, they have things that affect their pelvic organs, per se, from a miasmatic perspective for what's going on. These people also have a tendency to have high cholesterol because the cholesterol just, it's not because they don't have statin drugs in their body, it's because they're psychotic miasm wise, they tend to accumulate things. They tend towards fibrocystic breast disease. They tend to have, you know, they have gallstones. They grow things, we'll say, in their body. That's how they wall off the foreign invader. Unfortunately, medicine looks at that as bad, so let's cut it out. So if a woman has, you know, let's say, you know, a uterus that, you know, has fibroids and has heavy bleeding and pain, the solution is you should remove the uterus. And of course, the symptom goes away. But aha, we haven't changed anything because now now it has to go somewhere else. You lost the receptacle in which to put the foreign invader. Now you're going to get some other types of an illness. Oh, now we go to a different specialist because, oh, now we got a different problem. You don't need the gynecologist anymore. Now you need to go to the cardiologist, or now you need to go to the neurologist, because it just moves around. That's got somewhere, because your body is such that unless you're doing all the things we've talked about, basic treatment guideline-wise, you're going to just keep accumulating this stuff year after year after year. And eventually you get to 60 and say, oh my God, I now have breast cancer. How did that happen? And it's not, I'm not saying just because somebody had their uterus removed, that's going to happen. But hopefully you get the idea. With psychosis, you wall off, you build up, you hold on to, It's called inefficiency. It's inefficiency of the immune system to totally respond 100% to get to pull, to push things out. Another miasm is called syphilitic miasm. Europe, we call it the Lewetic miasms, L-U-E-T-I-C, Lewetic or syphilitic. And the syphilitic miasm is also an inefficient way for the immune system to try and get back into balance. So what happens with that particular, and the classic example of that miasm, if anybody has read Shakespeare, is Henry VIII. Henry VIII was the classic person who had the syphilitic miasm. And what did you hear about it? He basically wanted a male heir. The female basically would have would either not get pregnant, have miscarriages. So he would kill that one off. And then he said, well, I'll try another one. And so he went through multiple queens, hoping to get an heir. But the problem wasn't the queen. The problem was him. So, you know, the aspect of, you know, elephantitis. So what the most common thing to think about with syphilitic miasms is you punch holes in your body. So these are the people who have a tendency, let's say the ulcerative colitis. These are the people who have a tendency to get ulcers in their stomach. These are the people who will have leg ulcers, because this is a way that the body leaks. I'll say that leaks out the foreign invader. It's a way for the body to, because remember, the wisdom of the body is always about survival. It's doing everything it possibly can so that you could survive, you know, to keep the generations moving forward. The fourth one is the tuberculinic miasm. The tuberculinic miasm, I mean, people have heard of tuberculosis, the condition tuberculosis, obviously. So tuberculosis is a, you know, for doesn't just affect the lung, but it, I mean, the people who have tuberculosis miasmatically will have more of a tendency to lung problems. However, to back up for a sec, any disease can be in any miasm. And most often, people have more than one that's active at one time. There's usually one that's predominant. But you may actually, just like with your temperaments, you know, you have the four temperaments, but in reality, there's like 16 temperaments because there's all kinds of combinations of things for what's going on. You have the same thing miasmatically. Invariably, there'll be one that's most predominant, and that actually can change over time. So with tuberculosis, these people tend to develop respiratory problems. So if you've read anything about history, you know that in the 1800s, tuberculosis unfortunately killed 25% of the European population because there wasn't a way to, you know, develop it. And, you know, what's of interest is, you know, UNDA numbers, which is a big part of my practice, you know, from a therapy perspective, the one of the reasons that I use them, is interestingly, is UNDA numbers were specifically developed by three physicians in the early 1900s as a way to treat tuberculosis, because there was no treatment for tuberculosis back in the day. Back in the day, what they found was is isolation. You just put people into isolation because somehow they fed, if you're living close quarters of somebody, you're, because it's spread by droplets and coughing, just like COVID and, you know, any other type of illness was spread. So anyway, they were looking for a way to effectively treat tuberculosis. That is actually the origin of the UNDA numbers 100 plus years ago in general. They were looking for the solution for that, from using the body's inherent ability to heal itself. An interesting thing with each of these individual miasms, there's also individual, then, so there's an overlap with temperament. For example, when somebody tells me that they're always, you know, looking for something, they're always thinking that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. They go on vacation and they plan for vacation for 6 months and they're so much looking forward to it. It's going to be the best thing in the world. And they go to this place thinking it's going to be Shangri-La. And they get there and they look around and they're happy for one day. And they look and say, is that it? I thought it would be nicer than this. So in other words, it's never enough. They always want something different. I remember one patient telling me years ago, you know, she would change her furniture like every 6 months. She would buy a bed every, I said, first of all, how do you afford it? I'm thinking. But I said, well, why do you do it? Well, it's not comfortable. It's not this. I thought it would be more comfortable. I thought I could do this. I thought I could do that. Or they change their car every year because they don't like the color of the car anymore. They used to like blue. They don't like blue anymore. Now it's got to be red. Now it's got to be, you know, some other color. In other words, they're always looking for something else. It's never good enough. They feel better in the mountains, you know. They say they think they go to the mountains. They go to Machu Picchu and said, oh, God, I thought it'd be nicer than this. I said, climbed all the way up here, spent 3 days. Said, frig, I'm here. Look around. It's just a pile of rocks. Hell, that's it. Could have saw that in a picture. Sorry, these people. So each miasm has a different interaction of how you respond. You know, for example, I hope there's no surgeons listening, but many surgeons are syphilitic. They like the cut. They like blood. They like things to evolve. We have developed different jobs and your vocations. Temperament and miasm are part of that aspect. And there is a relationship between temperament and miasm, a whole different discussion. So that may be longer than what Julie wanted me to do, but it gives you the aspect that when your immune system needs to be tuned up, you have to pay attention to how your body is going to respond, irregardless. And you could, you know, we have always said you could put 10 people in the same room, expose them to the very same thing, but the, why do they not react the same? It's not because it's a different bug. It's because of their miasm and how their body naturally is going to respond to that foreign invader. So hopefully that's a bit of an overview, which is actually a very appropriate for this particular talk, now that you brought it up.
I agree. I mean, I think for me, it was a game changer when you educated me on this, because I really had no idea. And like I said before, is for me, when I'm able to help understand a client's miasm, I'm able to support them, their nervous systems in particular, and their immune systems in particular, because I have a client, for instance, every time he gets sick, his sinuses blow up, basically, and then he has a bit of a rash, and it comes up every time he gets exposed to a virus. And this is just his body's way of trying to, you know, get rid of the virus. But now that I understand his miasm, I can support him better. And he now understands how to support himself better. So it's really cool. And that's why, like my dad has said, I think it was really important for people to understand is that, yes, it could be inherited, but they change. And depending on your health and depending on how you live your life, particularly how inflamed is your nervous system, really will, I believe, will impact how your miasms may change over time. And so, like my dad said, is like you can be a combo, and you know, there's lots of hybrids, just like trauma responses. Like I've been educating my clients lately that everybody thinks there's like fight, flight, freeze. But I'm like, what about fawn, flag, and flood? And people like, it's still like, we're always evolving. At the end of the day, we are evolving. So you might be a combo of one, two, or three of them, but I think it's important for you to, some people, Dad, I know some people might have the question, how do I know what my miasm is? Is it based on like, based on your descriptions, or is there a way for people to understand or figure out what their miasm is? I know someone probably will ask you that.
Unfortunately, the most common way is if you look at your illnesses, I mean, even though I said that any miasm could be any illness, it's the particular characteristic. It's that typically, you know, what I've heard literally 10,000 times is from a female, her menstrual cycle started late. She had lots of problems with it. She tells me she had either sinus, throat, strep throat, ear infections as a kid. She may have had tubes. She may have had her tonsils taken out. Then when her menstrual cycle starts, she has menstrual issues. That is the classic, above the collarbone, below the pelvis. That's the history story. 90% of those women, and then they'll tell you that they were on birth control pills. Then they said, oh, I don't know why my cholesterol is high because I eat great. There's a number of features that go into it that allows you to understand the types of illness that somebody has. Tuberculinics are the people who have, you know, usually they're going to tell you that they're all can be tired when they get sick. Tuberculinics are the worst. They're like totally wiped out. you tend to think about, you know, the aspect of chronic fatigue syndrome, which interesting, a study I just read said it's really not about, you know, the virus. It's really about your nervous system. That's really the underlying root of that. And that's how something like EBV gets associated with multiple sclerosis, or EBV is associated with cancer and every other illness that's out there now. Because we've all been exposed to Epstein-Barr virus. You know, you could test somebody and they say, oh, you've had some antibodies, you had it. And say, well, I didn't have mono, which is like, well, you may not have had mono, but you were exposed to it. And so your body remembers, you know, and makes some antibodies. So yeah, EBV is a common one that gets stuck in, you know, herpesvirus. I mean, once you've exposed to herpesvirus, you've always have it. It lives in the nerve root, per se. So you get stressed and you are out in the sun and you get a cold sore. And it's like, well, that's part of the reality of, you know, what ends up happening. And to some, well, I've never had a cold sore. Said, well, it doesn't mean you haven't been exposed to it. It just means your body is somehow keeping it under control because you have a different miasm that allows that to happen. So it's not figuring out it by yourself. It's generally not very easy unless somebody has a little bit of, you know, medical background and just from a terminology perspective. But if anything, just take away that, you know, if your family, your sister, or your mother or father, when they get sick, they get this problem, but you don't get that because you're not necessarily the same miasm. Because, you know, when your parents got pregnant, the stronger miasm, and if your mother had a stronger miasm activating, you probably will have inherited that. Otherwise, it may have been the father miasm, and then it said you acquire, but you also inherit the miasm. So, you know, you may have an underlying inherited miasm, but that may not be the one that's active because of, you know, living with a partner who has a strong mind, etc. So there's lots of things in medicine that can make it more complicated. But that little description I just gave of each of the four hopefully will give you a bit of an idea of why when you get sick, this tends to be what you have. So if some patient tells me, well, you know, I had ear infection, never had sore throat. Well, when you get sick now, what happens? Oh, I always get a sinus infection. Well, how many have you had? I don't know, over the last 10 years, probably 5. Well, you're probably psychosis, miasm. Oh, and then tell me about your menstruals. Or in a man, you tell me about what you know, it's generally prostate. Said prostatitis, erectile dysfunction, you know, those types of things may be the ones that tend to come up more in a man. You know, woman is sort of anything else related to the pelvic organs. So it can be in a man too, also in the pelvic organs.
Awesome. So at the end of the day, like, hopefully this just like plants some seeds for you to understand, like, okay, my immune system has, you know, like a particular, it can go a different direction. But at the end of the day, like, this podcast is really about how do we start building a stronger immune system. So if you haven't really connected the dots yet, your immune system is really linked to your nervous system and your lymphatic system, right? So my dad has been talking about the lymphatic system since I was my entire life, basically. And I think a lot of people don't really understand it enough. And people, like, most people only hear about your lymph if you have cancer. But I think it's a big piece of the puzzle to help you understand that, okay, how well is my lymphatic system actually functioning? And how well is my nervous system actually functioning? You know, like, the way I've looked at it with clients is we've been evaluating people's nervous system inflammation is basically the word I'll use. So we've been looking at how inflamed is your nervous system. So I've talked about in previous podcasts, something called the stress bucket or the threat bucket, depending on which world you come from. My dad, but like, we've also talked about like HRV, and we've talked about different ways for you to be able to assess your own nervous system inflammation. But like my dad said, if you're that person that doesn't get sick, like, so how often should someone get sick a year, Dad? We have said this before, but if you just want to say it again.
At least once a year. Twice a year is great. And ideally, it doesn't have to be something that lingers and goes on for. The most dangerous person that I have is generally a man who says, I've been working it in the last 20 years. I've never had a sick day. I've never felt I've got sick. I didn't get COVID. And I'm thinking, uh-oh, this is not good. You're 52 years old. You've never been sick. And if you don't get sick, you don't tune up your immune system. It's like driving your car for 20 years. The only thing you put in is gas. Said, oh, maybe I should change the oil. Maybe I should tune the car up, you know, check, under the hood, so to speak, change the tires. Yeah, if your immune system doesn't get challenged once in a while, it gets lazy. When it gets lazy, you have the increased likelihood, unfortunately, of something more catastrophic. Unfortunately, in my practice with patients, I can almost guarantee that those individuals, men more than women, I've seen, will either have a catastrophic illness of cancer diagnosis or they'll have a heart attack. And I've just seen it so often. So I said, not getting sick is not a good sign that your immune system is strong. It means your brain is actually trying to divert because of the fact probably that you're living in sympathetic dominance. You create high cortisol and you're suppressing your immune system. And then it allows these little invaders to go about their business and you're not paying attention. It's like, you know, the iceberg that's under the water. You don't see the part that's, you know, up above the water. This is what your immune system is basically not being tuned up. So at least once a year, children, babies, supposed to get sick four times in the first couple of years, per se. And then, you know, commonly kids should be sick two or three times a year, ideally with a fever, especially kids. Adults generally, you know, are just a weakened system or an imbalanced system. Fevers are not as common, but a fever in an adult is an awesome thing. Fever in children is very common. And in fact, we celebrate it as a very positive thing because it is the best antibiotic you could ever give a kid is for them to get a fever, which is why we do not encourage people to lower their children's fever just to put them in a bathtub. Let it go down, per se, in a few hours it'll be up again. But basically what you're doing is like you're redosing an antibiotic. What your immune system is doing is learning how to deal with, you know, whatever that foreign invader is. That is a good thing. Once again, this is not medical advice. This is basically for your own kids. Ask your own doctor. But from my perspective, when my patients ask me about their kids,
when I was living in your house, my dad made me sweat it out. You're going to be fine. Yes.
I didn't give Tylenol. I got Tylenol.
Nope. I didn't even know what that was. Like, I think I was probably in my, honestly, late teens, maybe 20s before I even knew what it was. Like, I talk about Arnica and Calendula and people are like, what is that? Like, it's just a different, I don't know. I was raised in a different world. I did have a question in terms. So is it possible to be too sick too many times a year?
Absolutely. And the length of time of recovery of an illness also dictates that there's multiple other factors involved. If you're getting sick, if you need three rounds of antibiotics to treat whatever it is the doctor gave you the antibiotics for, that's a sign that your immune system is not able to kick in more efficiently. You know, all an antibiotic is doing is trying to allow your own immune system to get ahead of this thing because it's got behind the eight ball, we'll say. And so now we need to, you know, you need a little bit of support. So we're not saying antibiotics should never be used, but if they're used repeatedly, then that's a sign that you definitely need to be spending some extra time on your nervous system and your lymphatic system more specifically, but it doesn't mean your digestive system isn't important. They're all, so we have 11 main systems. They're all important for different reasons per se. But if we're going to focus on, you know, strengthening that, you said a nervous system, which we talked about previously, lymphatic system are critical to keep, you know, a constant tune up. That's why that's why the lymphatic has to be supported every day. Mm-hmm. That's why we move our body every day. That's why, you know, we talk about nebulites. That's why we talk about dry skin brushing. That's why we talk about castor oil packs, et cetera. So however you move it on a regular basis, that's the critical component to supporting a healthy immune system. If you're sick too often, you need more support. And when we talk about more support, somebody has a cold or a flu, they say, what do I take? Well, you can take, different types of mushrooms. Mushrooms are well known. They've been on the planet. There's thousands and thousands of different kinds. Some are not good because they're poisonous. But there's many immune supportive things that you get from that. Vitamin C has been used forever. Vitamin B has been used forever. Zinc has been used forever. Zinc lozenges now. So, you know, we have nutritional support. There's many, many herbal medicines that are very effective immune-wise that, you know, our herbalists from centuries ago have figured out in general. Those are the additional type things. But, you know, the first sign of colds and flus are warming socks, salt water gargles, nebulizing, warm bath, turn your cell phone off, etc. Without having, you know, but if you're in the midst of this, we say, oh, maybe you need an IV therapy to really give you a boost in addition to just taking, you know, extra vitamins and minerals and that type of thing. Those are the extra types of things. But the goal ideally is it's you do things more than you take things. But we live in a society that seems to want to take things more than do things. But the preferred is do the first sign, slow down, said do the hydrotherapy things that will support those systems, your normal physiology, meaning you'll rest your nervous system, you'll improve your lymphatic system, you'll fast for the most part, meaning you're not going to put a lot of extra stress on your digestive system, because that's going to, you know, have to divert blood into your digestive system to digest the food. I said, well, why don't we just keep all the blood focusing on our immune system, you know, by getting it lots of oxygen and bringing it lots of nutrition and that kind of thing to support whatever the illness is that you're dealing with.
I was going to say, like, we just got back from a trip and I got sick basically as soon as we landed back in Canada. And I was in denial for probably 24 hours. And then I was like, okay, no, I'm sick. And I was telling a friend, she's like, you're not sick. You're just out of balance. And that for me, the language, it just shifted. So instead of being like, oh, I'm sick, you know, and just feeling negative and feeling down, I just switched. I'm like, no, I'm out of balance. So what do I need to do to create more balance? And what my dad just said is basically everything that I did. I started warming socks. I added, the only thing I would say I added was essential oils and gua sha. But I'm just being, you know, I was just being picky. I did extra time on gua sha-ing my lymph nodes, but I would use essential oils on the bottom of my feet. I did what's called, I drink like teas, but I was making like immunity balms. So I was drinking that. I was basically like, I wasn't eating. I was drinking a lot of like garlic and ginger and lemon and honey. Honey was huge. So these are the things that allowed me, and I stayed off social media, you know, like, and I slowed down. At the end of the day, I slowed down. And I think this is where a lot of people, when our bodies get sick, we need to, you know, a lot of people just take, like my husband, he'll take, you know, whatever over-the-counter medicine and go back to work. A lot of us, that's the problem. You know, how do you build an immune system? A stronger immune system is you learn to slow down. And that's scary, you know, for people like me who used to live in this fight or flight response. And when you get sick, it's an opportunity for your body's just saying, hey, we need a couple days here. And, you know, and a lot of us are like, no, I can't slow down. And if you're that person, you're like, oh my God, I can't do that. That's a sign, I'll tell you right now, that your nervous system is on fire. You are inflamed. And so that's where, you know, in between the sicknesses, if you will, what you're doing is you're working this dance of how do I support my nervous system? How do I support, you know, all the systems at the end of the day? But my dad talked about the orchestra and the conductor of the nervous system a few podcasts ago. And I'm still using it because I think it's such a beautiful example of what can we do to support your nervous system each and every single day. Because the nervous system, it's not like training your nervous system and supporting your nervous system is not like working out where, you know, you go to the gym 3 times a week for an hour, you know, and then call it a day. And then you go back to your normal thing. It doesn't work like that. So when we're talking about building an immune system, building a stronger immune system, it's what can I do every day to support myself, to either slow down or to, you know, to do deep breaths. And this is where, you know, like my dad calls them basic treatment guidelines. I call them basic healing guidelines. Same thing, because at the end of the day, it's what kind of space, how much time am I offering my nervous system to find space, to pause at the end of the day, really. These are the things too, is that, you know, my dad was just talking about the doing, but what about the being? Like, so the immune system, two parts of the immune system we haven't really talked about are the emotional and the spiritual, right? And so when we slow down, our immune systems are, you know, like if we're always in this chaotic go, 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 what happens when you're in go, go mode all the time? You end up burnt out, overwhelmed, feeling, you know, all these heavier emotions. So when, you know, when you're not, if you're not taking time to really explore the emotional and the spiritual aspect of your health and your healing, then that might, you might be leaving some stuff on the table. So I just want to, I want to put that on the table, is that, that for me, there are four doors, that it's not just about the physical and the mental. Like I need to, you know, slow my mind down. I need to slow down physically, but how am I going to slow down mentally, or sorry, how am I going to slow down emotionally and spiritually? That, so I just want to plant those seeds for people. And there are ways to do that, right? And so like my dad said, yeah, there's doing, I'm doing a lot of those things, but you know, like when I'm off social media, what am I doing? You know, like, can I just sit in my own space and in my own mind? So I was up at the cottage the other day and it was kind of cold out, but my daughter decided to just to go sit on the dock and she was just watching the water. And then she's, I was just sitting in the chair, just watching her. And she's like, mommy, come sit on the dock and just meditate with me. And I have to tell you, it was such a beautiful moment. And I'm like, the fact that A, she asked me is huge, because she is someone that lives in a fight or flight. She lives in the, and if you've lived with anxiety or know anybody that lives with anxiety, she's a, her mind is always going. Anyway, for her to come and ask me to sit down and pause, and she's like, just come meditate with me. So we sat there for maybe a couple minutes, and then all of a sudden my body just went, I literally let out a physical sigh. And it was such a beautiful moment that I was like, she gave that to me. And that right there, that helped build my immune system. And that's, those are the kind of moments we're looking for, that we want to be able to build into our lives a little bit more. Like, when can you get that sigh in your day? There's a little bit wider picture or broader picture to just doing, what can I do to build it? What can I be to be able to build it? If that makes sense.
That's very telling, Julie. It's actually a very statement. And you know, I just, I'm thinking about the aspect of all sort of advertising that goes into immune system support, where, you know, whether it's the pharmacy or a health food store, they're, you know, they're advertising for the flu season, you know, this is the flu kit you take. And it's true. I mean, these are helpful. Making sure your vitamin D level is high, making sure you have adequate amounts of zinc, making sure you're eating enough different colors of fruits and vegetables, or take vitamin C, you know, which are all the standard things. But it's unfortunate that in all that type of advertising, you never hear what we have been talking about, which is why we decided not to talk about what everybody else talks about, because that's the information you want. You can get it anywhere. Because what we're really trying to help people understand is, it's not, it's, there's a much deeper aspect to the immune system than colds and flus. You know, more, you know, the other component that we haven't touched on immune system wise is when the immune, you know, is the 80 plus autoimmune diseases that we now know exist, you know, rheumatoid arthritis, lupus, multiple sclerosis, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease. You know, there isn't any tissue that in our body that isn't somehow potentially, you know, subject to an autoimmune problem, meaning the immune system is reacting against itself. And it doesn't mean it's hyper-reactive. It means it's out of balance, which is the word you just used. It's an out of balance immune system. We could even say something is as difficult as cancer is an out of balance immune system. And when did it get out of balance? Not like last month. It gets out of balance years and years and years, and then it's an accumulative effect that ends up happening for people. And it's why statistically most cancers tend to occur in people over 50, because it's taken all those years of imbalance. And finally, the immune system says, well, I can't deal with this anymore. So, you know, for all cancer is really, it's a rogue cell. It's a rogue cell that our immune system at the time that it initially happened was unable to take it out through apoptosis, normally just destroy it. Because we could say that, you know, we have something like 37 billion new cells every day. You think every all 37 billion new cells every day are 100% normal? You know, there's some rogue cells in there, but the immune system just takes care of it, so we don't worry about it. And so, you know, I don't, cancer is not something, oh, you're, it's unfortunate or too bad. It's a sign of imbalance in society as much as anything. And, you know, how we are trying to help people understand. But that's why mindfulness, that's why meditation, that's why slowing your system down, that's why spirituality is important. That's why the emotional aspect is so critical overall, and not just in something as out of balance as a as cancer, but, you know, we can say, you know, heart disease, is that an immune system problem? You know, it's certainly not just a fact that you have a coronary artery that gets blocked for some reason. Said, why did it get blocked? You know, blocked because your body was in spasm. Why was it in spasm? Because your nervous system, because your lymphatic system. And, you know, it's not because, I can guarantee you, you didn't have enough statins in your body. That's not why somebody has a heart attack. So the number is not the issue. It's what your organ systems are doing, how you're dealing with day-to-day life, how you interact, you know, in general. So please, hopefully you'll get sick once or twice a year and not be upset by it. Not get, oh, frig, this interferes with my life. I wanted to do this. Do what Julie said. Take a couple of days off. Turn your cell phone off. Get off social media. Just relax. Get your body back into doing what it's asking you to do. Then you go back into your life. But as she said with George, she said, oh, as, and this is typical, oh, I'll just take something. I can go to work. It's okay. And so what if I infect all my other colleagues at work? It's like, that's not being fair to other people. We need to be fair to ourselves first and foremost, for, as far as our immune system is concerned.
Agreed. And I mean, another way, I think language does matter. And, you know, as I'm aging and living life more, you know, I'm realizing how much they can have an impact. So when you said, like, just relax, to me, what clicks in my mind is, how can I ground myself? Right. So it's really about, you know, I use the word grounding, and I've been using that, you know, in air quotes with clients and whatnot. Like, what does it mean for you to ground? So, like, I had a video on Facebook actually go viral, and it's literally me standing in water, moving my arms around, moving my elbows around, and playing with my fingers. I'm just doing some neurology, basic neurology movements, and, you know, some elbow movements just to get my brain. I'm just, it's like, if you know brain gym, I'm doing some brain gym exercises, but I'm doing some figure eights and that sort of thing. So people are fascinated by it, but it was amazing the amount of people that caught on, you're standing in water. How important is that? And to me, it's huge. That's a huge piece of the puzzle. Like, that to me is actually almost more important than the exercises, because when I can shift my energy and connect to something stronger or more balanced than me right now, that alone is powerful. And hopefully, you know, like, if you're looking at, like, how can I build a strong immune system? Maybe, you know, if you think about today or tomorrow, like, how can I ground myself a little bit more today? That may help you decide, you know, okay, I'm going to do some breath work, or I'm going to do some lymphatic, or I'm going to, you know, rebound or do whatever it is. Like, there's so many, like, every basic treatment guideline, like, grounding is one of them. But to me, like, I'm using the word grounding, like, well, I would switch it to earthing is one of them, one of the basic treatment guidelines. Grounding is literally, it's aligning you energetically to finding homeostasis, right? So how can we do that? And so if you want to build a stronger immune system, to me, that's one of the first dominoes you want to put in place. So, yeah. We never know where this is going to go, but hopefully you got a nugget or two from this podcast, and we really appreciate you. But Dad, is there anything else that you want to add before we sign off?
No, because it'll lead into another hour discussion about, you know, something or other. So it's like, hopefully we as you said, gave a few nuggets to people that they will think about, not just reaching for, whether it's a prescription or whether it's a, you know, vitamin or mineral, but rather it's the doing aspect and the taking care of it. And don't get upset with your body when you do get ill. It's actually quite fine. It's actually a healthy aspect of building immune function and supporting your immunity itself. And the immune system itself, I mean, there's obviously, there's, it's a specialty, immunology, immunologists, you know, infectious disease people, you know, but they're more looking at what do I have you take, not what do I have you do. As you know, with our podcast, we're about doing and less about taking.
And then I'm just going to add a caveat of that doing leads to being, because to me, it's really like you are a human being. You're not a human doing. So what can you do to continue to be? That's awesome. Really, that's what where we're going to leave it. Thank you so much for listening. Stay tuned for our next podcast. We're actually going to dive into the world of leaky guts. So if you or someone you know that struggles with a leaky gut, how much you want to bet that it's linked to the nervous system? Wink, wink. But we're going to dive into that. So thank you again so much for listening. We appreciate you and your support. And we look forward to talking to you next time.
Talk to you next time. Talk to you soon.
We want to remind you that knowledge isn't power. Applied knowledge is power, where knowledge turns to experience. We encourage you to implement the information shared, allowing you to shift your health and energy. And if this is your first time listening, we truly appreciate you being here and would love to have your support by subscribing to our channel. We also love hearing from you, so please connect with us and share your thoughts. And if you have any ideas for future podcasts, please let us know. If you're interested in learning more about biological medicine or trauma-informed movement, check out the show notes. Thanks again for listening, and we look forward to connecting with you in the future.